These are your prayers for me. I realize that if the Lord doesn't speak, it's no use in me being up here. And so we want to get what the Lord has for the moment. And that's the way that I've been praying. Lord, give me what you have for us for the moment. Now, we all have special needs, and the Lord is here to fill those needs. And I'm very, very grateful to him for what he's done for me and how he fills those needs for me. And we ask that he do the same for each one of us. I want us to turn to Acts, the 26th chapter, and I want to start reading at the 12th verse. Chapter 26, verse 12. And I want to talk about, a few years ago, when we were in Dallas, there was a church, I don't know what church it was, but it was had a campaign where they had a lot of bumper stickers, and the bumper sticker said, "Do you really know Jesus?" And a little question mark, "Do you really know him?" And I would say the majority of us would say, "Oh yes, I know the Lord. I have a relationship with the Lord." And I want to say that the most important thing for all of us to have is the proper relationship with the Lord, to know him. You know, some people know a person, you know them just fine until you are in close proximity with them. Then you know them a little bit better, right? You know what they can do and what they can't do. So if I was going to give a title to this discourse, it would be, "Do you really know Jesus?" And also I want to put in kind of as a subtitle, revelation or religion. Because it's important for us, because a lot of us, we have been taught a lot of things. Of course, when we're raised a certain way, we're taught a lot of things. And we taught the rules, we taught what to do, what not to do. But we never had Jesus revealed to us. And this is what we want to concentrate on today. Let's start at the 26th chapter of Acts, verse 12. We're up on.
"As I went to Damascus
With authority and commission from the chief priests.
At midday,
O king." So this is Paul that is telling about his conversion. If you want to know the conversion, you can go back into the ninth chapter of Acts. But he's basically reiterating it here to King Agrippa. He said that, "At midday, O king,
I saw in the way a light from heaven
above the brightness of the sun shining round about me
and them which journeyed with me.
And when we were all fallen to the earth,
I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue,
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said,
Who art thou, Lord?
And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted.
Now let's take this. Jesus, when someone persecutes a child of God, he takes it personally. It's not that he had never met Jesus before. This is the first time that Paul had met Jesus on the road to Damascus as Jesus as Jesus. But he had met the saints of God, people that had Jesus inside of them. And when the devil fights you, he's not just fighting you as a child of God. He's fighting God himself. And so the Lord dealt with Paul, and the Lord had dealt with him. His conscience had pricked him. There had been something about this man that he knew that what I'm doing is wrong, but he did it anyway. Why? Because he was a very religious man. He was steeped in the Jews' religion. And he knew all about it, and he knew it. And here was this threat to the Jewish religion, and he was going to put this threat out as quickly as he possibly could and as completely as he possibly could. So he got authority from the chief priest to go to Damascus and get all that were in that way, whether they were women, children, men, whatever, and bring them and destroy them. He was there when Stephen was stoned. They laid their coats at his feet, and he watched that. And as Stephen was had a clear understanding of who God was, and what happened as they were stoning Stephen saw the Lord standing up on the right hand of God. Let me tell you, when you have that kind of a testimony and you're speaking that testimony out while other people are coming against you, that has some impact on everybody else. So Paul, sometimes what happens, Paul, when you have that kind of an impact, that kind of conviction, I don't want to hear that. I want to put it out of my mind. I want to deal with that. This is what Paul was dealing with. But now Paul Paul is testifying and he's witnessing about Jesus Christ. And what is he saying? And he said, well, in John, the third chapter, the 16th verse, I want you. He didn't tell him that. He just told his story. And sometimes all the Lord needs us to do is just to tell our story. How did I get saved? Well, this is what happened. I was in a horrible place and the Lord began to deal with me. I don't have to know scripture. I don't have to know a whole lot of scripture. I just have to know the Lord. When I have a clear relationship, and I'm using myself in a general sense. When we have a clear relationship with the Lord, we can tell somebody, I don't know how it actually happens. I don't understand all the whys and wherefores and how it happens, but I do know that I used to be like this and now I'm not like that anymore. And this is what happened when I presented myself to the Lord. This is what Paul is saying to King Agrippa. He's not telling him some great grand thing. He's just telling him, this is my story. This is what I know God did for me. All right, continue, please. 16.
But rise and stand upon thy
feet. And this is what the Lord said to him. Arise and stand upon thy feet.
For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
To make thee a minister and a witness.
Both of these things
which thou hast seen.
And those things in which I will appear unto thee. So in other words, he says, not very many of us have had that kind of a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, where you're on your way to do something completely against him, and then all of a sudden the very one that you're persecuting stands before you and knocks you flat to your feet. We haven't had that kind of a relationship, but we don't have what we didn't do what Paul did. We didn't write half of the New Testament, right? A good portion of the New Testament. And the Lord has something special for him, and the Lord has a purpose for every one of us. My story is not the story that Paul had, but the Lord has a purpose in my life. It may be a simple, nobody knows my name. I'm not going to be famous. I'm not going to go to the White House. I'm not going to be world famous or whatever. But let me tell you, those that the Lord wants to know my name will know it. And it's not going to be that they're looking for Daryl Johnson. They're looking for Jesus inside of Daryl Johnson. Daryl Johnson is nobody. None of us are. But let me tell you, we are all somebody when the Lord Jesus Christ is living and reigning in our life. And when we have a personal relationship with him, it's not just about religion, not just about us coming to church. Oh, you know, I'm Church of God and Church of God. This is the truth. Yes, it is. I believe it with all of my heart. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. I would be one of those ones that have slid on by and went somewhere else. But let me tell you, the Lord gave me a revelation when he called me to the ministry. He gave me a revelation, and part of the revelation of it was, he said, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And the reason they're going to depart is they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and all of that. And the Lord knew what kind of a person I was. And so therefore he knew what I needed. Now it may be something completely different for you, but he knew I needed that as a foundation, as an anchor scripture for all that I was going to face in the world and all of my friends that have fallen away and all these other things. I needed that for myself because I have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just something that somebody says. It's something that's absolutely necessary in order for us to make it. You believe that? If you don't, you will. And if you don't have that, you'll just follow, trot along behind somebody else that tells you something that sounds good, and it sounds good today, but may the Lord help us to understand, I need something personal. I need to know Jesus for myself. I don't care what my wife, it's wonderful to have a wife that is focused on it and that knows the Lord as well. But let me tell you, if she didn't know it, I still got to know him for myself. Because guess who's going to stand up before me? It's not going to be Brother Ed. Oh, he's my friend. I love him. He's done wonderful things. But he's not going to say, well, Lord, I can vouch for this fella. He's not going to say that. He can't, because he's got to vouch for himself. That's the only one he can vouch for. None of us. Lord, help us. Y'all still with me? You're awake? Not going to sleep yet. That's good. All right. Arise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. So in other words, I've got something to tell you. To make thee a minister and a witness for both of those things. So a witness, we talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning. A witness, what is it? A person that has a first-hand account of a particular thing. I have made you a witness. Now you see, you saw Stephen. You saw all of the ones and you saw how they responded. You saw that there was something different about the people that you were coming against. And you saw that they did not revile against you and all these kinds of things. There was something about these people, and there was something that was pricking in my heart, and there was something that was pricking me, and as a result of that prick, I had to silence the prick, and I had to silence them, and so therefore, I'm going to go all the more against them. Now, what you find out when you read in the 9th chapter of Acts, what happens is he had this entourage of people that he was over. And these entourage of people were going to Damascus to get him. And the first thing that the Lord did was smite him with blindness. Yes. Now, that was the first thing that he did. And why did he do that? Now the man that is a man of authority now has to be under authority. Do you know the Lord teaches us those kinds of things? This is part of the purpose. Paul, I've got a lot of things to teach you, and I've got a lot of things to say to you. Now, the Lord could have said it to him right there, but what did he do? He sent him to Ananias, didn't he? He said, I want you to go, and it'll be told you what to do. Now, but what I say, I get it from the Lord. I don't have to listen to all these preachers. I don't have to listen to everybody else, but let me tell you, the Lord wants you to understand, before you can ever be beneficial and in a leadership for the Lord, you've got to understand how to be under leadership. You have to understand that you're not the total authority. And you have to understand, you know, this is why I believe, I say this, and maybe you've heard me preach, say this in a message before, but one of the reasons that we have to be children before we become parents is because we have to understand how it feels to be children. Right? And so once we understand how it feels to be children, we can understand what that child is going through. And then when we're in a leadership position, the Lord does not put you in a leadership position, and you will not be a good leader if you are not a good follower. It's impossible. Because what happens is when you're a leader, you have to understand how those people that are under you are feeling with whatever it is that you're demanding or requiring or desiring, whichever adjective you want to use, demanding, desiring, requiring of that individual. You have to know how they feel under that. You know, as a husband, my wife is just as smart, if not smarter, than I am. Right? But there's a submission that she has to go through, and I have to understand how that feels. I can't just demand something of her because she's an adult too. All right? So may the Lord help us to understand that this is what the Lord does. There's a purpose in everything that the Lord does for us. All right? Now let's go a little farther here. He says, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So in other words, some things that you've already seen. Now this is Paul at the very onset of him meeting the Lord. He said, you've already seen some things. You already know how people respond and how it works. You've already known it. But there are some other things that I want to show you as well. So I want you're going to be a minister and a witness of those things. And he says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. I'm going to send you to those individuals to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Upon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, here's what the point is. Paul is speaking to a king, and all he is telling that king is what Jesus told him. So when I witness to people and when you witness to people, you don't have to be a preacher. Well, I'm not a preacher. I don't know what to say. Just tell them what God told you. Tell them how God spoke to you, how God changed your life, O King Agrippa. And it doesn't matter if they're the President of the United States, if the King of England or whatever. It doesn't matter who, or the person on your job. Just tell them what God has done for you. And the only way that you can tell them what God has done for you is for God, first of all, to have done something for you. And for you to know that it was God that did it. And for you to have that clarity and understanding in your heart of who God is. All right? And all of us can know him. All of us can know him personally. I've heard people say, it just seemed like the Lord just loved me more than he loves everybody else. I've heard people say that. And it seems like that to me too. There are some times that it just seems like the Lord loves me more than he loves everybody else. And I can claim that if I want to. And it's nothing you can do about it. Right? You can claim it too. And I believe the Lord has this ability to love all of us more than anybody else. If you can allow me to say that. That makes sense? I believe he can do it. All right, let's go a little farther. Verse 28, please.
28?
Yes.
But he's,
verse 28 does.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul.
Agrippa said unto Paul.
Almost. Thou persuadest me.
You know what, Paul? I hear what you're saying, and I know that there is some reality to what you're saying. I know that I can feel it. I can see it. I know what you're saying is right. And he's counting the cost, and he's saying, you know what? But I might have to give up this. I might have to do that. That's none of Paul's business, is it? But as King Agrippa, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost there. But you know what? How do we persuade somebody to be a Christian? You persuade them by telling them the story and by having the life of Christ within you. When you have the life of Christ within you, it changes who you are. You're a different person. You're a different man. How you respond to things are different. How you do things are different. And people see that. They may not be, as we said earlier, they may not be able to put their finger on it exactly what it is. But there is something. They say, you're almost persuading me to be like you. When people are in trouble and they see that there's a peace of God in you, then they want to be like you. They do. They may not want to pay the price at this particular time, but they want to be like you. Our responsibility is to live that kind of a life, all right, where this is not just, you know, you go to some churches and it's just they go through this ritual. It's a ritual that we do this and we wear this and we do this. But no, it's not about that. It's about having that personal relationship with the Lord. All right. Do you believe that? All right, let's go a little further here.
And Paul said,
I would to God
that not only thou,
but also all that hear me this day
were both almost and altogether
such as I am. I don't want to be in these bonds, but I wish everybody was like me. You know what I believe? I believe everybody wants what we have. Everybody. They just don't know it. And how do we convince them? Number one, you got to have it. You got to have it the right way yourself, and you have it right the right way yourself. You know, sometimes I've seen people. Have you ever heard of somebody say, "Yeah, they're supposed to be a Christian"? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Are they supposed to be a Christian? What does that mean? It means that they're not. There's something about them that clashes with what their concept of a Christian is. So most people know how you're supposed to respond. Even if they spit in your face and they backhand you and they talk about you, there's a way that Christians respond to that, don't they? They did it to Jesus. And they're going to do it to us. And there are going to be things about other people that they do things to us that we don't like. But there is a way that we respond. And the only way that we can respond in the right way is that we know the Lord for ourselves. It's personal. It's not just a religion. It's not just that I'm a member of the Church of God and I do it. Well, this is the way the church teaches. It's the way the saints, because that's only going to last for so long. So have you ever heard of somebody say, I had to lay down my religion, take care of this. Well, if you got to lay it down, it's not very valuable. I haven't had to lay mine down yet. Right? I'm not going to lay it down so I can handle up on this and deal with the person like I need to deal with, and then I'm going to pick it back up because I can't do it with the religion. It don't work like that, does it? Lord, help us. All right? Okay, so let's go to a little bit further here. Let's go to Galatians 1, verse 11. And what I want to say about Paul's ministry, to open the eyes of the blind, turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord. That's the ministry that all of us have. And there is, the Lord tells us, you know, I hear this oftentimes when we say, as a preacher, people have expectations of those of us that are pulpit ministers to be at the forefront in winning souls. But I talked to a sister here, and she just loves the Lord. I forget your name, sister. I know you're here somewhere. I saw you. But she was telling me how much the Lord, how she wants to win souls to the Lord. And she's doing everything that she can to win, just finding something to do to tell somebody about the Lord. You know what the Bible tells us? It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Who is it talking about? It's talking about Brother Ed. It's talking about me. It's talking about Brother Eric. Talking about the different ones of us that have been called. Is that who he's talking about? Is that the Great Commission? It's just to us, right? There's this elect group that the Lord is telling to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that right? No. Who's it talking to? All of us. But first of all, we've got to know something about who we're preaching, what the gospel is, what the gospel message is. The gospel message is deliverance from sin, isn't it? Opening the eyes of people that have been blinded. And let me tell you, the point is, I cannot go into your world. I can't go to your job, and I can't stand up and preach the gospel message to your boss, but you can. And I'm not saying it with words, because sometimes we don't preach with words. We preach with our actions. They watch our lives. They see who we are. They see what we, how we deal with that. That's your world. And the Lord says, go into your world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not everybody's going to believe. Those that believe shall be saved. Those that don't believe shall be damned. Not every person that I minister to, that you minister to, is going to accept this. But your responsibility is not for them to accept it. Your responsibility is to preach it. Lord, help us. All right, Galatians 1, verse 11.
But I certify, brethren,
that the gospel
which was preached of me
is not after man.
For I neither received it of men,
neither was I taught it,
but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past
in the Jews' religion,
how that beyond measure
I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it.
And I profited in the Jews' religion
above many my equal
in mine own nation
being more zealous, exceeding zealous of the traditions of my father. So there's one thing that we have traditions. There are some things that we teach that are really traditions, okay? But they should be steeped and based in scripture, right? But here is Paul, and so he's saying here there's two distinctions. One is revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation versus the Jews' religion. So he's talking about Jews' religion. So Paul has had both of them. He's had a religion, the Jews' religion, and then he's had a revelation of Jesus Christ. So now the Jews' religion, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of rituals and those kinds of things. And so what happens to us when we, because all of us, even us today, we can have a lot of rituals, okay? And I'm saying as long as they're not against scripture, I'm not going to touch those things, but I want to say that there is something more than just religion. More than just, I go to church every Sunday and I've done my duty, and there are those that go and they've confessed to the priest and they've prayed the rosary and they've done all these kinds of things, and they've gone and they've done their prayers toward the north or west or whatever way they do them, but it's a religion. It is not something that they know the Lord. And this is what Paul was. Paul was a very religious man. He had a brilliant mind, a brilliant understanding of the law. But what they didn't realize was the law was to lead them to the personhood of Christ. That was the purpose of the law. And what you do when you study a law, you have an understanding of something about the nature of that person who gave the law. You know something about their nature, something about their character, because only certain people are going to make a law this particular way. We have laws today. We have a law, and it tells you something about the depravity of men. One of the laws that we have in the nation is we have the right to abortion. We have the right to same-sex marriage. All those kinds of things. Somebody made those laws and made it where we could, how dare you go against those particular things? But when we look at the scripture and we understand what the word of God says, we can't do anything. I'm not the one that's standing against it. It's the word of God that's standing against it. When I have Jesus inside of me, it repels everything that's unlike him. And so what we have to understand is that they were missing the very object of their religion, which was Jesus. They were going around persecuting. This is Paul here. He was persecuting the very object of the Jews' religion. And then all of a sudden, the revelation came, and the Lord gave him understanding. And saints, this is why it's important for us to have a revelation. I guarantee you that there are going to become all kinds of things that are going to come against us over time. And I am not just a Church of God person because this is what I was raised in. That's not it. You know why I'm a Church of God person? It's because it's been revealed to me that this is what God called me to. All right? He called me to it, and this is what I've got to do when I stand before him. The Lord is over. Brother Darrell, why are you still around? Where am I going to go? I've heard that. I've heard somebody say to me, Darrell, you could be a preacher with a lot of folks and all this kind of thing if you just didn't go to the church. You just do something a little bit different. And you could be something where everybody's, I don't want to be that. You know what I want to be? The only person I want to know my name is Jesus. I don't care if anybody else don't know it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. What I want to know him personally, and I want to know personally that this is what he requires of me. Not what you, it doesn't matter what the church says. I am not doing this for Brother Ed or Brother Eric or anybody else. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know this is why he, this is what he wants me to do. This is where he goes. I am here because the Lord, I felt like the Lord told me to do it. I am in California. I'm not going to say that. I am in California. I was going to say something about California. I prefer Oklahoma. Let's put it that way, to put it in a nice way. I prefer the Midwest. And I like, there are things about, this is the cover story. There are things about California that I really like, and they're wonderful. And you can go to the beach, and you can go to the wharf, and you can go to the mountains, and you can go to the desert. It's all right there. That's wonderful. I don't know, but it's just something about red dirt. And a dirty pond that looks red that just kind of touches my heart, right? It's flat gullies. You know, we don't have canyons. We got little gullies. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's something wonderful about, I don't know, maybe it's because I was raised here. I've fallen in love with it. But this is not where God wants me to be. And I dare not come back until the Lord tells me that I'm free to do so. So why? How do I know that? I know it because I know the Lord. And I know it because he knows me. And every time, you know, I went to Dallas, and I love Dallas, I really do. And I grew to love it. I didn't like it the first 3 years that I was there because of some things. I just didn't like it. I didn't like it very well. And then I grew to love it. And then I go back there, and when I sit in the congregation, I say, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I know it's not where I'm supposed to be. I can't go. But the Lord is blessing those young men. They're preaching the truth. I hardly ever preach when I go there. I tell them, no, I just want to sit here and watch. I want to see what the Lord has done. I get to preach every Sunday whether I feel like it or not. So I don't want to preach when I come here. I tell them that. And so it's wonderful. I know where that I am where the Lord wants me to be. All right? So he says here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, for we have heard a conversation in time past of the Jewish religions that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and was wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals. All right, let's go down, drop down to the 15th verse. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. Now, let me tell you, the Lord knew what Saul was going to go through from the day that he was born. When he separated me, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me at that time by his grace. Talked about grace this morning, too, didn't we? Talked about his divine favor. He's going to give me the power to be able to do the things. All the things that I've got to do. The Lord called me at the time that I was born. Do you think the Lord didn't call you at the time that you were born? That he has a specific place for you to be, a specific work for you to do? Absolutely he does. Have you asked him what it is? Are you walking in that? Do you have this personal revelation? Are you, well, I know I'm supposed to be a Christian. I know I'm supposed to go to church every Sunday. And that's the end of it. No, it should not be the end of it. Let me tell you what he says here. He says what did he say? He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Now, here's what I want to say. To reveal, it did not say to reveal his son to me, which he did. On the road to Damascus, he revealed his son to him, but he said, no, he revealed his son in me. Do you realize that the Lord wants to reveal Jesus Christ in you, not just to you, but in you, so that what he inside you, he can be, you can minister to somebody else. Amen. All right? Reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. The only way that I can preach him among the Gentiles is for him to reveal himself in me. All right, drop down to the 24th verse, please.
And they glorified God in me.
And they glorified God in me. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say they glorified me. You know, I was a pretty good preacher. I did a pretty good job, didn't I? Oh, no, he didn't say that. He said they glorified God in me. May the Lord help us. You know, the thing for us as ministers, and it doesn't matter what minister you are, whether you're going out into the world to preach the gospel to the people, the issue that you have is to get yourself out of the way and let God work through you. If you can do that, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. If you can get yourself out of the way and stop allowing, get yourself out of the way. Just say that. If God is in you, others can see him too. And if they can't see him, then you've got a problem. Oh, I didn't even know you was a Christian. Ooh. That's quite the insult, is it? I had no idea that you were saved. Oh, okay. Anybody ever said that to you? I hope not. May the Lord help us. They might say, you know what, I knew there was something about you that was different. Just didn't know what it was. That's okay. But they say, oh, you're a Christian. Okay, no, that's not a good thing. All right, let's go to John 14, verse 17. So he says here, what we're trying to say, what I want us to understand is know him, not just the religion. And I know there is one thing about that we say oftentimes, and I say it too, I'm guilty of it, but I've said it too. You know, this is the truth, right? And we often say this, the truth, truth. But do you know, what is the truth? What is it?
Christ.
Somebody else said something? God. So when we say that we have the truth of God's word, our responsibility is to have the truth, right? Is to have the truth. Now let's read a few scriptures here. Let's see John 14, verse 17. I'm not going to hold you long. That clock is going pretty fast. I'm going to try to stop pretty soon.
Even the spirit of truth
whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him.
But ye know him,
for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is speaking about the Spirit of the Lord. Do you notice how he uses the pronouns of he, him? He, him, it's a person. The person of Jesus Christ. The person, the Spirit of the Lord. It's the person. So we have to understand that. And we go to John 15, verse 26. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. He will. And so what I want us to understand and what I want us to get hold of, you don't hear anything else that I said tonight, today, this afternoon. I want you to get a hold of that the Lord is a person. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what does that mean? That when we talk about the truth, it's not this disembodied group of rules and set of rules and regulations. It is Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. All right. So let's go a little further here. Let's go to John 8 and verse 31.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him.
If you continue in my word,
then are ye my disciples indeed.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
They answered him,
We be Abraham's seed,
and were never in bondage to any man.
How sayest thou?
Ye shall be made free.
Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever,
but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore make you free.
Now, notice that he said in the 32nd verse, that the truth shall make you free. And then in the 36th verse it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So you would say that the Son and the truth are synonyms. Isn't that what we would say? They're used in the same kind of a way. That the Son and the truth. The truth shall make you free. And if the Son will make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So if you don't get anything else that I want to say, I want to say, have a personal relationship with the Lord. Get to know him. Not just the religion. Not just, I'm a member of the Church of God, and I think that they preach the truth, and it's wonderful. Yes, it is, but it's something even greater than that. The greater thing is to know the object of what we're preaching. The object is to know Christ for yourself. And it doesn't matter what happens. I believe the majority of the people that I minister to, I've been in California for 3.5 years, and the majority of the people that I minister to there in our congregation, if I never preach again, would know how to get to heaven. All right? Do you know how to get to heaven? Lord, help us. All right? All right, let's go a little further. So we see that the Lord is the personification of truth. And I thought one of the things that I noted in my relationship with just being in the church and whatnot, I thought there was, and I've told the story, I tell it quite often, but it was not until I came to know the Lord for myself that it really made a difference. Before it was just my parents' religion, and it was just what they told me to do, and I had to do it, and there were just so many do's and don'ts, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Yeah. So people think that preachers, all of a sudden, we just get up here and we've never had any struggles. We've never been teenagers. Oh yeah, I was a teenager. We've gone through our 20s. I didn't go into my 20s, 30s, 40s, and almost done with my 50s. We've had struggles at each decade, right? And so you say the do's and the don'ts, and I'll share with you. And the Lord helped me to see this. The Lord helped me to see that there are restrictions in a relationship. If you have a relationship, there are restrictions. I'll tell you the story about my wife. I don't know if I've told you before, but the first thing when we first started seeing each other for Christmas, she got me, I was really a spiffy dresser. The Lord has toned me down a whole lot. I mean, if whatever was in the fashions at the, see, oh, Brother Daryl, you did that? Yeah, that was me. Whatever was in the fashion, if it was the fashion, I had it. I worked at a clothing store, men's clothing store, and I just had the latest of fashion. A little flashy. It just needed to be sanctified. That's all I needed. But here's the point. My wife was a little less flashy. I don't know. You can't get to, Lord couldn't put two people more opposite than we are together and then make us balance out. She got me this charcoal gray pants with a light gray. You know, back then we had pleats. You know, we don't have pleats now, but we had the pleats back then, the kind of baggy pants. That was back in the 80s. Oh, y'all remember that. Y'all old people remember that. The younger folks don't even know what I'm talking about, but we had the pleats in our pants. And nowadays everything is flat front. And so she just got this flat front. And it's like, girl, why did you get me this? This is just bland and boring and it's not exciting. But you know what? I wore that. The first opportunity I had to be around her because I was in love, right? I wore this boring outfit that I wouldn't have bought myself. And you know why I wore it? Because I was in love. I wanted to see that I love this. And that, yeah, okay, oh, if this is what you want me to do, it's what you want. Now, she's changed a lot in the way that I've changed a lot in that because the Lord changed me. But here's the point that I want to make. By nature, relationships are restrictive. When I fell in love with one person and I said, okay, this is the one I want to spend the rest of my life with, it eliminated me. It restricted me from every other. I don't care how beautiful she is or how wonderful she is. It restricted me from every other person. I cannot fall in love with another woman no matter what. I can't touch her. I can't do anything because I'm restricted to one. Why? Because of the relationship. And so there are certain things that she may require of me that maybe somebody else wouldn't require of me. But because I love that person, I'm willing to wear boring clothes. And I'm willing to change who I am. And I'm willing to do all of those things. Why? Because I'm in love. So here's the point. It is not that you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other. What you need to do is fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you fall in love, you'll do a whole lot of boring things that you never thought you'd do. And you know, you find out that they're not so boring. Because guess what I dress like now? Like she likes for me to dress and like I needed to dress in the first place. Didn't know it, but I know it now. And so now I'm a lot more subdued and you're not going to find me in flashy. I mean, whatever colors. I mean, I had all the colors in the rainbow. I did. But now there's restrictive. And so here's what I want to say. When you fall in love, when you fall in love with somebody and you have a personal relationship and you know what they like and you're trying to please them, then what happens is you change. You're willing to make the changes that you do because this is personal now. This is not something that the church teaches. It's not something that everybody, all the fashion world has done. It doesn't matter. Now I've got a relationship with the one that I love. That's the object of my affection. Now I'm going to do the things that they want me to do. Now I don't care. You don't like the way I dress. I'm not trying to look good for you. I'm trying to look good for her. And as long as she likes it, it doesn't matter what everybody else likes, does it? Y'all with me on that? All right. So now what do I say? It doesn't matter what everybody is saying about, you ain't got to do like that. If Jesus loves it, I love it too. Why? Because I love him. I have this personal relationship with him. I know him. It is not just religion anymore. It's a revelation. It's an understanding now that I know who Jesus is and what he is and what he's all about. Now, I love him. Now I'm almost done here. It says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So here's the point. It's not that you're lifting me up or I'm lifting myself up. I'm lifting Christ up in me. And it's beautiful. It's something beautiful to see somebody that loves the Lord and the Lord loves them. And you know it. And you have the clarity and the understanding that this is personal. And it doesn't matter. Oh, you don't like that color on me? That color doesn't look good on me? Honey, does this color look good on me? Yes, it looks good on you. Then it doesn't matter what everybody else says. Does it? Doesn't. Well, that's an ugly dress. Well, do your husband like it? If he likes it, that's all that matters. You're not trying to look good for anybody else, are you? Well, this is what I've got on. And does the Lord like it? The world doesn't like it. The world thinks I'm old fogey or whatever. But it's the Lord. Lord, do you like this? And the Lord says, yes, I love it. I see that you love, that you're doing it for me. And it's beautiful on the outside of you. And so I say, all right, then that's all that matters. Isn't that true? All right. All right. So it's not about following the rules, is it? It's about falling in love. It's not about something being restrictive. It's about the relationship. And the result of that relationship makes it restrictive. Right? All right. So know the person. Then you'll know how to apply the rules. You'll know how to apply the restrictions. You'll follow the rules. Learn about the Lord. Read about him. Ask him about himself. Ask him to give you a clarity and understanding of who he is, what he is, how you relate to him, what his purpose for you is. You know, the Lord has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for all of us. He wants you to be more like him. And he wants you to know him in a personal way. And if you will know him in a personal way, oh, it's a wonderful relationship. I can tell you some of these newlyweds up here. I know some of y'all. You can tell the newlyweds, you know, we've been married almost 40 years. We're beyond that state, but you see all hugged up. That's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, I know. I don't know how long you've been married, but it ain't been too long, right? It ain't been 40 years. I don't know. Sometimes 40 years, you kind of get a little more distance. I'm going to see some of the older ones all snuggled up together. That's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it? May the Lord help us. When you fall in love with the Lord, there's something people can tell it. They can tell that this is a new relationship. This is something wonderful. It's not just restrictive. It's not that, oh, I'm going to work. You know why I'm going to work? I'm going to work because I've got a wife and a child at home, and I've got to make certain that they're taken care of. That's wonderful, isn't it? May the Lord help us. I want to encourage you, get to know the Lord. Don't just have it as a religion. This is not just about the do's and the don'ts and the issues and problems and the restrictions and all that. What I want you to understand is it's all about Jesus and getting to know him for yourself. It's not a religion. It's a revelation. It's a understanding and an enlightenment that the Lord shows you. May the Lord help. Pray for me.